And now Horn. Stewart wants it. And looks for Amakechi!
It's a grand old team to play for. It's a grand old team to support. And if you know your history, it's enough to make your heart go whoa.
Hello there and welcome back to this edition of the Grand Old Team Podcast. In this episode, myself and Groucho will look back at yesterday. The poor quality of that game was it a dreadful advertisement for the Premier League. Also, we'll be taking a look at Sam Allardyce's comments post-match, which generated a lot of fume on the forum and on Twitter. We'll debate whether or not Tim Cahill would make a good coach at Everton, and we'll also look over some of your three-word reviews from Twitter. All that and more on this edition of the Grand Old Team Podcast. Hello there and welcome back to this edition of the Grand Old Team Podcast. I have got with me Mr. Groucho, and that's it today. Actually, it's just me and Groucho doing this one. Grouch, how's your weekend going?
Do you know what? It's been great. My wife went to have some Italian cookery lessons and fulfilled a little bit of an ambition for her, actually, to go into a professional kitchen. She's a bit of an amateur cook, so a restaurant we go to run their cookery lessons,
brilliant,
which include making your own pasta, and as a whale of the time. They'll tell you what, our teas have been great over the weekend.
fantastic. So I bet it has, yeah. So the more, you know, pressing question is, did you drink any great Italian lager while you were there?
No, she went on her own. I was in there.
Over
the weekend, I think it was just gin and a few cans of craft beer yesterday after a couple in the pub. Quite nice, being all right.
Nice one, yeah. I drank, what did I drink this weekend? Some Hobgoblin yesterday. Me and the wife went down to the place we got married, which was nice. And then I've had some Aldi red wine today for me Sunday tea, which it's called the Winking Owl. If you get a chance, then have a bit of that. But again, we are advertising companies that don't give us any money. So we have got to try and find an alcoholic sponsor for the podcast, and then when we do this, like, we'll actually get paid for drinking it as well, which is our mission, I think, for the summer. So, if any of you are listening to this and you'd like to sponsor the Grand Old Team Podcast, you work for a company or a business, or you work preferably for an alcoholic beverage brand, and you want to send us free ale, then get in contact, because you're more than welcome to sponsor the Grand Old Team Podcast as long as me and Grouch get a few beers.
It doesn't have to be much, just like, you know, one crate every now and again, it'd be okay.
Grouch, yeah. I echo those thoughts. All right then, so on to this this football match yesterday, which took place in a bit of a vacuum, I think. You know, we're all kind of not looking forward to the end of the season, because, you know, you'll miss it when it's gone. But I think if we were going to within any season, this would be one that we would. So go on then, Grouch, give us your general observations for the game yesterday, mate, and then I'll give you mine.
Well, we were crap for most of the first half, then woke up about 10 minutes before half time, scored a goal. Now, I know it was a bit of a messy goal, but firstly, they all count. Secondly, we were at least up the right end of the pitch, throwing the balls in, having a go. If we hadn't have had a couple of shots, it wouldn't have gone in as an own goal in the first place. So we were at least trying to go the right way. And then, you know, it's an ideal time to score, minute before the end of the half, you know. They can't really come back, and then they come out, and then we're crap. And then the goal that we let in was defensive errors, and for someone who said when he came in is, well, first thing I'd do, I'm not doing his accent. First thing I'd do is we'd sort the defence out. It's not really. I mean, I'm just nonplussed by it all at the minute, and not with football, or not with Everton, obviously. Still very passionate about Everton, but just the way we're going about things, it's crap. We should not have, like you said, I misunderstood your message yesterday. I thought you were saying that's what the club tweeted up, but it's like you know, seeing out the game. We were 1-0 up against Swansea. We should be beating them. Even though we're not, you know, our top form, we're not pulling up trees. We should have enough to beat Swansea. home or away, we shouldn't be bringing people on to see a game out when we're 1-0 up and then concede. You know,
it's depressing.
Yeah, to a degree. I think it's... I hope things change in the summer. I'm not one, like I always say, I'm not one for sacking managers willy-nilly, but I think the days of long-term management, if not gone, probably won't see them for a long time. I do also wonder now, I know we were a bit desperate at the time, I suppose, but was it worth changing manager? You know, I mean, was Unsworth getting it right as he got, you know, put back down to the under-23s after a temporary spell? Was it necessary to bring Allardyce in? All hypothetical, isn't it? You never know. I just wonder, would we have been in the same position now, whether he came in or not?
Yeah, I wonder if Unsworth's been vindicated in a way, because, I mean, who knows? I've had this conversation with my old man a couple of times, you know, and he's very adamant that David Unsworth would have done the same job, and I get what he's saying. Mm. I mean, let's not forget, it wasn't so much the results. I mean, for example, like, you know, if you look like points per match or where we were in the league, you know, it's not that much different to where we are now. It was more the kind of feeling around the club, and there was this feeling of like doom, and it almost felt like it needed somebody else to come in from the outside to rescue us. I'm not sure whether or not David Unsworth had enough within his locker at this stage in his career to pull us out of that situation that we were in terms of the way that we felt about the club. But with that said, you know, when Allardyce talks about the job that he has done, and I've got some comments from him here, and I'll just read these out quickly. By the way, what is Allardyce's accent? It's more confusing than
from,
mine.
I think he's from Dudley.
He's from Dudley.
But he spent a lot of time in the northwest here, so I think it's some sort of weird Lancashire Midlands crossover.
It is.
His parents were Scottish as well, so I wondered if there's a little bit of that thrown in, yeah.
Yeah, like, it's a weird one, and I always struggle to pinpoint it, and then I think I Googled it once, and I was like, oh, he's from Dudley. But you can hear that a little bit in it, but then also it sounds quite northern sometimes. So anyway, after the game, he said, when asked about what his achievement was at Everton, or what his remit was, he says, I've already done it. It's already been done. It was all about relegation when I got here. Now, yes, we want to finish as high as we can, but what has been achieved is exactly what we needed to do. What I'm glad to say is that the players have done is that they've done it far more than anybody else below us, because all those teams are struggling. When we had teams like Southampton and West Brom above us when I joined, look where they are now and look where we are. Now, I don't think it's factually correct to reference Southampton and West Brom as being above us when he joined. They weren't above us when
they weren't. I don't think West Brom have been above us at all, have they?
I don't think they have, no.
No.
So, you know, I think the point we're making is, has he actually done that much of a good job at Everton? Because you'll get supporters from other clubs who'll say, oh, he's kept you in the league, you know, what else do you want? But as you say, it's almost like, would David Unsworth have just done that anyway, you know?
I think he might have done.
Yeah.
I mean, also, it's context, isn't it? I mean, are we still ninth somehow?
Yeah.
That is a complete disaster of a season we've had, and a lot of other clubs would kill to be ninth. And I think it's all what we expect and context, you know. For example, I mean, Huddersfield had probably coming up, would love to finish ninth, for example, but it's not good enough for us. And I think that's it. Allardyce has been clubs where previously ninth is great.
It's not good enough here.
Okay, you might have done the job, you might have seen us stay up. That's not good enough for any more than just this season.
No. And that's the whole thing with Allardyce, is he has to remember the club that he's managing. And, you know, I've said this, I went on two podcasts last week, the Dronga Burrito, which is a cool name for a podcast, and then the Shoot the Defence podcast. And both of these podcasts, the lads who run these podcasts, asked me specifically about what I thought about Allardyce Grouch. And you know, I referenced this, I said this was a chance for Sam Allardyce to come in and manage Everton and change the way that the football saw him. But also, you know, I referenced the fact that the clubs that he's managed, the things that he says now are acceptable for clubs like Crystal Palace. They're acceptable for clubs like Sunderland in recent years, but he's manager of Everton. What's phenomenal to me is the fact that we're in ninth. That alone is a bit strange given the season we've had, because ninth place, like, isn't actually that drastic. Like, ninth place sounds, you're in the top half, you know, it's all right. It's not where you want to be, but it's not like panic stations. Historically, you know, there was a time in the 90s where I think finishing ninth would have been quite good. As an Evertonian, I'd have been like,
I suppose so, some seasons, yeah.
Right, depending on like, relative to where they are or where they were. But when you think about it, Newcastle are a point off us. Now, Newcastle, yeah. We've all associated... I mean, there was a couple of weeks back where people were saying Newcastle will go down again this year. Mm-hmm. You know, Benitez hasn't got enough to work with. That in itself is mental, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. I think also it shows how tight the league's been this year as well. It was really... I think at one point you could be in the top half, in the bottom three for... You know, one game, win two games, and you're in the top half, aren't you? Mm. You know, it's been quite close, really, which is good for football. But I think the problem is, it's sort of, you're taking that sort of split, haven't you? Again, you've got like the top five, six, and then everyone else. But you know, that's the way. Did Man City win the league today?
They did. Man City, yeah. Are champions again. You know, Manchester City are the club, you know, that I kind of used to as a comfort blanket to think of what might be for Everton one day in the future. Because, you know, if you just said to a City fan, I grew up with a mate of mine who's a City fan, and, you know, I remember a time when they were worse than us and then as poor as us, and Everton frequently used to turn Manchester City over. And, you know, I think, you know, that you look at City, Grouch, and you look at what they've achieved over the last couple of years and the route that they took to get there. Remember, it didn't happen overnight at City. They brought in the Thai owner. I can't remember his name now. And it didn't go well for them, and they spent a lot of money, and then they were still languishing around mid-table, and it took a little while to get going. Obviously, before the current fellas came in from Qatar or wherever they're from. So, you know, it's like... It does show you how things can change, and they are a club that I look at and go, you know, maybe one day we can reach them. But with regards to the league this season, I mean, it's phenomenal. I'm just looking at the table now. You've got Burnley on 52 points, 2 points behind Arsenal. Apart from really the top four, I'd even say Chelsea haven't been great this season. You know, everyone else has been, you know, much of a muchness, really. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. On Chelsea, is Conte still going at the end of the season? I'd have him.
Do you think then, because we've had these chats before, and you've said that you'd like to see Simeone at Everton, and I would be honest with you, I don't think there's any chance of Everton bringing in Simeone. But do you reckon someone like Conte would take the Everton job after the situation that the club's in now?
If he wants to stay in England, perhaps, yeah. It depends how much money talks for someone. Now, we can apparently throw money at people. But if you're going to do that, I've heard a lot of people say Carlo Ancelotti. Again, why would someone come? Well, if you throw enough money at them, they'll go anywhere you like, and he's got previous experience in the league. So I suppose it depends on the outlook of the individual manager.
Yeah. I agree. I mean, there's the rumours knocking around that Conte wants to go back and manage Italy, but I just feel that the club needs to find that bridge between the next manager needs to kick the club on to get the club into a position where we can start attracting world-class managers. Again, you know, Man City, but pre-Mancini. Mark Hughes was the guy, I think, before Mancini, who...
He was, yeah.
You know what I mean? He was that bridge, and he took City on. Let's not pretend that Mark Hughes didn't. He just didn't take them to the level where they needed to be. And I think it's Tottenham. You know, it's Tottenham now, Pochettino. So Pochettino has been that bridge. So when Pochettino goes to leave Tottenham, which will probably be in the next probably season or two, right, when Mourinho leaves Man United, probably, Tottenham will be now in a better position to attract someone like Diego Simeone.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know what I'm saying?
And especially with the new grounds and all that, you know, it'll be, you know, they'll probably be able to just take the pick of managers, won't they? You know, they're getting Champions League a lot more frequently, aren't they? You know, which is some ways a bit jealous of them, because they've sort of done what we should have done, really. You know, when we had we finished fourth and then we were in... you know, the seasons were sort of 07, 08, wasn't it? We were in the Europa League and did well in that. I feel we missed an opportunity there. Not necessarily to be them, but be where they are, I think.
Well, it's a really good point, actually, because Tottenham is probably a better example of what Everton should strive for, because we don't have the resources of Manchester City, but we've probably got an owner who, in terms of wealth, is on par with Tottenham's, with Levy. Yeah. I think he's the owner, isn't he? Or is he the chairman? I don't know how it works. The point I'm making anyway is they're a similar size stature club to Everton. And a couple of years ago, they were in the same position as Everton. Remember, before Pochettino went there, Tim Sherwood was the manager. You know, in terms of footballing terms, he's potentially a worse manager than Allardyce. So, you know what I mean? So, in fact, Tottenham are a better example of Manchester City of where Everton can be in a couple of seasons. The point is, though, Grouch, is that if Diego Simeone went to Tottenham, nobody would raise an eyelid. But a couple of years ago, that would have been silly, a manager of his stature going to Tottenham. Right, and it's silly for me now to think that a manager of Diego Simeone's stature coming to Everton, but in 3 years after Fonseca comes in potentially and takes Everton to that next level where Everton are competitive again with the bigger sides in the league, it won't be silly then when he moves on, and you know, if potentially this happens, and then someone like Diego Simeone comes in. But onto the match, just quickly on the match yesterday, Grouch, that was a terrible, terrible advertisement for the Premier League, wasn't it?
Absolutely, yeah, it was. If you were watching that as your first Premier League match, you'd just go away nonplussed. You'd say, what's the fuss about? Mm. And the goal we gave away was awful.
Yes.
Absolutely awful. But there's been no memorable games this year, really, has there? Maybe the 4-0 against West Ham, because of Rooney's goal, and it was much relief. It was needed, those 3 points. But there's been no memorable games, really, ones that you look back and think, oh, wow, that was a cracker game there. But we've been beige all season. There's nothing to get you excited. Beige.
That's a good way of putting it, mate. It is. And I mean, yeah, like that's the thing. You look back over the season and you go, where are the games that stand out? I mean, I tweeted today. Someone else had done this tweet, to be fair, followed up on it. They said, like, oh, even like 98 they'd used as an example of, like, at least we had like a derby win and stuff, and you know, and we were terrible that season, but at least we had a few like memories. And in this season, and I said, like, yeah, even Martinez's last season, which was atrocious, Grouch, we got to two semi-finals.
I know.
You know?
We got to Wembley.
He had a trip down to Wembley. It was absolutely one of my best Everton days, and we were dreadful again and missed the opportunity to beat a team that were proactively trying to get Louis van Gaal sacked. That's what Man United were trying to do that day.
You look back and you think, Christ, what's gone on? I think a lot's gone wrong since the day. No, I'm not saying Moyes was God or anything, but I think we've got a lot of things wrong since he left.
Well, that brings us on, Grouch, that brings us on perfectly to Tim Cahill's comments. I don't know if you've seen these today.
I haven't.
So, Cahill's come out. He's been on Goals on Sunday, I think, which I don't get to watch Goals on Sunday anymore, but I always really liked it. It was like a more sophisticated version of Match of the Day. Right? less tedious version of Match of the Day. Yeah. Not that I've got any issue with Match of the Day. But the point is he said, basically, he went on there and he said, look, you know, Everton lack identity. I'm not saying we were amazing, but at the time, you know, since Moyes is gone and we really, you know, I'm not sure what Everton are trying to do. And I think that's a good point. And you know what? People turn their nose up at Moyes, and I think me and you, and I know there's a couple of lads who run the site as well, you know, we're all kind of giving the benefit of the doubt, don't we? Yeah. You were never a staunch Moyes hater, were you?
No. I liked him.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't like what he did when he left and the manner in which he left, and then his comments about, we should let Baines come to me and etc. But up until that point, no, I thought he was fine. I mean, we were doing okay. He maybe could have only taken us so far. I don't think we'd have won anything, but I don't think we'd have been as crap as we are now.
No. But Cahill makes a good point regarding the identity, and that's something we've lost. I don't know what Everton are now. What I always used to take pride in as an Evertonian, remember being an Evertonian, not from the city, just with family connections, you know, not born there, not raised in Liverpool. So I'm only one of, at my school, there was me and one other lad who were an Evertonian. Like, you know, there wasn't that many of us. And Everton, you know, something that I took a lot of pride in. And then as I grew up, and like, people would say to me, like, oh, the things I know what Everton, I like Everton. You get that a lot. Like, I like Everton.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And you knew what Everton were about, this hard-working, industrious football club, you know, and Moyes' sides would play good football when they could as well. Let's not pretend that the sides didn't.
You could play decent football.
Did things right as well, let's be honest, you know. I did things in a way that was ran contrary to the way the game was going at that point, in terms of we had this small budget and we'd still compete. We'd go to places like City and turn them over.
Yeah.
You know, and that was, look, at times it was frustrating. Let's not mess around. Like, at times we wanted Everton to kick on, and you know, in that time we didn't go and we weren't competitive away at some of the big clubs. But we knew what Everton were about. And now we've just lost that completely. And this fella's come in, Allardyce, and he's tarnished the Everton brand. I mean, you know, we're now associated with a manager that people don't like. And now I think we've been put on par with clubs like West Ham, Grouch, and Newcastle, and Crystal Palace.
Not good enough. Absolutely not good enough.
And that hurts, man. That does hurt as an Evertonian, because we're not, like, we are better than that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's why I think it's vital we appoint the right man. Not necessarily the popular man, because I'll be honest, I don't know that much about Fonseca. A lot of people are saying he's, you know, he's in the he's Champions League level manager. Is it Shakhtar Donetsk he's with? That must count for something. But other than that, I don't really know a lot about him. If he's the best man for the job, fine, great, get him in. If there's someone better, get them in. I'm not really bothered whether it's a big name. I just want the right... I mean, because Moyes wasn't the big name when he came to us, was he? He was plucked out of nowhere. Because I think the alternative choice at the time was Gary Megson, wasn't it? And thank God Moyes answered the phone.
I can't remember, was it? Was it in the running for...
It was between Moyes and Gary Megson.
History could have been so different, Grouch.
That's it, yeah. But thank God Moyes blew Bill Kenwright completely away. That would have been completely different, wouldn't it? But anyway, you know, he wasn't the popular man at the time, but he was the right man at the time, and that's what we need to do now. I don't think Roberto Martinez was the right man at the time, nor was Koeman, and nor was Sam Allardyce. I don't think Sam Allardyce has ever been the right man for Everton, but they need to get it right. Whoever it is, it has to be right for Everton.
So the reason why I brought up Cale, Grouch, was because he's been... there was a debate on Grand Old Team whether or not he should be brought in as a coach. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, yeah, I wonder if that's some sort of no smoke without fire hint to maybe Mikel Arteta becoming the manager, because his name's being bandied about. They got on really well. Has someone heard a rumour? Maybe, you know, may end up with a double act to both of them.
I'm not sure, Grouch, whether or not it's like one of them things where someone's just, you know, because he's come out and made these comments today. Whether or not, you know, they're saying, oh, could he potentially be a coach? But I mean, look, someone said underneath, like, what experience, what credentials has he got as a coach? But you're like, well, he's got to start somewhere. And you know, what's evident is Tim Cahill understands Everton. He gets us, in inverted commas. So, you know, why not? You know.
Yeah. You know, like you say, if it brings back he's an Evertonian for the start. I mean, I know people sometimes throw some criticism towards Duncan Ferguson, despite the fact that some of the strikers we've had, Lukaku, said he helped his game on toast and said he's been working with him and he started scoring a few. You know, it's about... I know people make a lot of... Do they get Everton? Well, Tim Cahill does. You know, it could only be positive for me, that.
Yeah.
Enthusiasm for something will go a long way. You know, Ronald Koeman might have been the greatest footballer. Well, he was an extremely talented footballer, wasn't he? But he just wasn't bothered about Everton. And that showed, you know. So you could be a garbage footballer, but if he's passionate about it, that'll make all the difference.
Yeah, no, all right.
Kale would be.
Yeah, okay, Grouch, good stuff. Okay, let's come back in, that's the end of part one, and let's come back in the second part and read out some of the three-word reviews from the match yesterday. Yep. Okay, so welcome back to part two of the Grand Old Team podcast. I'm getting used to doing this. I almost forgot then for a second, Grouch, because we were having such a good conversation, and I thought, oh yeah, I've got to do the three-word review. All right, okay, so let's start with this then. So Grand Old Team tweeted this out at the end of the match yesterday, full-time, Swansea 1, Everton 1. Give us your three-word review, hashtag EFC away day, hashtag SWA. EVE, and I want to thank all my lads, which is Dr. EFC, which is Mark, I think, Mark's that's Mark's name. Anyway, he said bag of shite, which was correct.
Can't argue really. With that.
I can't. There's nothing else to add to that, Mark. That's a very good observation regarding the match yesterday. Frustrated fan says Rooney looks old. Let's actually stop on Rooney for a second, because again, I've been in a bit of a debate on the forum today. Is Wayne Rooney, Groucho, a hindrance or an advantage to Everton Football Club at this moment in time?
I would say he was an advantage. I think the key to him is using him the same way as Gareth Barry was used, not in the same role, but you know, sort of sparingly, so his legs are fresh. And I think if he's playing like game after game after game, no, it's gonna hinder him, which will then in turn hinder Everton. I think used sparingly and in the right way. No, I think he's still a good thing.
I agree. It's like, it's just the case that Wayne Rooney has just played far too much football. I mean, let's be honest, none of us expected him to play this much.
No. No, I expect him to come off the bench maybe, you know, if he's going to play every game, sort of an impact sub, not be starting every game.
Chico says, neck me adders. he's not shy, is he? EFC 1878 says Allardyce out now. Grouch, is there any chance that Sam Allardyce could leave before the end of the season, you think?
I don't think so. I'd struggle to see the point, to be honest now. Someone's got to be the manager and he's there. So just let him see the season out. And as long as they're looking for someone now to get them in quick, because pre-season will be doubly hard with the new manager and harder again because it's been a World Cup year, so trying to get people in after rest. It's going to be a very, very difficult summer for us. So, no, I don't think there's any chance of him going now.
100% agree with that, you know, everything you've said there, Groucho. Like, I think people are a bit optimistic, thinking that Sam Allardyce will leave before.
I just can't see it. There's only four games left.
Exactly. The club will ride it out. But, I don't have a massive issue with it as long as I know that the club are actually setting the groundwork. So as soon as that final whistle goes, Allardyce is gone, new manager in, let's start looking towards the future. Matt W says only Seamus cares. I think probably there are other lads who play for Everton who care.
I think that's
cares.
A bit unfair.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, you're going to get people like Baines. I mean, Pickford obviously does as well. I know he's new and he's young, but I think Seamus obviously does care, but I think just to say he's the only one that does is probably a bit unfair.
I agree. So Jordan Pickford cares for me. Agree?
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. So
Leighton Baines,
I'd say. Yeah.
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 Phil Jagielka.
I think so, and I probably say. I mean, Keane's improved playing. I know it was crap yesterday. Well, Michael Keane's improved.
Yeah.
You know, playing with him. I think maybe you can point that finger at Schneiderlin, but even he had a decent game against Liverpool in that. So I think the season, though, he hasn't cared much.
I think what Matt's trying to say there is, like, he thinks that what would be a better way to put that is Seamus cares the most. Because, I know it wouldn't be a three-word review then, but the point I'm making is, like, I think there are certain players, all of them care. I don't think Morgan Stein doesn't care. I just think there's levels of how much a footballer cares about the club that he's playing for. That's the reality. All right, so a few more is JT says Fat Sam out. Brad says FU Everton. Simon Gibbs, sack Fat Sam. Martin Turner, Sam Allardyce out. Andrew Reid says three centre-offs. Oh, what did you think of Fiennes-Morey coming back in?
Yeah. I suppose it's good he's back from his injury and can play competitive football, but I wonder does he benefited from, you know, the way people get better while they're injured, you know, if we only had such and such in the side, it'd be great. It's another defensive pairing, isn't it? I mean, how many defensive pairings can you go through in a season? Nice to see him, but time will tell whether who our defenders are next year. He's young enough.
Yeah.
It's just, I suppose, depends whether him and Keane get on well together on the pitch.
Yeah, yeah. I'm extremely sceptical about Fiennes Murray. I have him for some time.
He always got, looks like he's got a mistake in him, doesn't he?
He does. He doesn't. And yeah. Do you know what? As well, also, it's like we do this thing where we romanticise players who go out of the side for a while, and it's like, oh, you know, bring them back in. They'll be terrific. You know, and it's kind of like we remember the things that we said about him before he dropped out. To be fair, they're much of a muchness. Most of this stuff is that was shite, Sam must go, very, very poor, hurry up May, should do better, better in caps. And one final thing, we saw Vlasic, didn't we?
We did.
What did you make of his little cameo?
It's difficult to judge him on just short appearances here and there. You know, I can't see a case for putting him in and loaning Adam Olalukman out.
No.
Should have been the other way around.
It's weird, isn't it?
Not to criticise the lad too much. I just think Lukman's a better prospect.
Yeah, hopefully we'll see a bit more of the younger lads actually between now and the end of the season. But again, you know, given Allardyce's comments the other week about class and, you know, the fact that he, again, brought and made out about himself and said, I've got to win the football matches, yada, yada. He, I don't think we will, Groucho. I don't think we will.
No, I mean, it's a funny one when you mentioned Klassen, wasn't it? I mean, yeah, I get his point that we see, he sees him day to day in training, but the lad's never going to, if he's not given enough of a chance, you know, we're not going to see what he's like properly, are we? I don't think you can you judge a player properly on, you know, 3-a-side training matches or whatever. You know, is he in the Dutch national side? He was captain of Ajax, he can't be that bad.
Yeah. It's such a strange one. Although, just a little Davy Klassen anecdote. The other week, I can't remember which game it was now. This was the one before Liverpool. Who was that? Which one was it again? Who did we play? City. Trains were all out of action, so me and the old fella had to drive, and on the way out of Liverpool, we pulled up next to Davy Klassen, who was playing around with his iPhone. At the lights, though, he wasn't driving at the time. I still think that's frowned upon. But he had a very nice, quite a funky Jeep. So I would have liked to have, like, wound the window down and asked him to give us a few comments for Grand Old Team and for the podcast. But I don't think he'd have been very happy about that, and probably would have drove off and flicked the V's at me.
Well, his family sponsored the match ball for the derby as well.
Apparently so. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which was obviously
he cares.
Yeah.
Even if the manager doesn't care enough to play him.
No, it would be good to see a little bit of class, and I think before the end of the season.
I think so.
Look, Groucho, as always, thank you for coming on. I don't need to say that to you now because you're kind of like part of the furniture. I don't even need to thank you anymore, do I, mate, really? But as always, enjoyed this. And to the listeners, thank you again for listening to the Grand Old Team podcast. Remember, if you haven't already, to subscribe, like and share. And you know what the most important thing is? To tell your Everton supporting friends about the podcast. I've got some big plans for next year, although I'm going to have to juggle that between being a father, which is going to be kind of strange, but I'm sure I'll work it out. Keep listening. Thank you again, really appreciate it, and I'll see you next time on the Grand Old Team podcast.
It's a grand old team to play for. It's a grand old team to support. And if you know your history, it's enough to make your heart go whoa.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.